As a podcast listener, have you ever heard compelling ads read by the host and thought to yourself, we should be advertising like that on podcasts too, but where do we start? It's simple. PodSearch Advertising. We're a prominent podcast advertising agency with over 15 years' experience running performance marketing campaigns for our clients. With millions of podcasts to choose from, we know which podcasts will reach your company's target audience and generate the best ROI. Our PodSearch advertising team will handle everything for you, including planning, creative development, campaign setup, host prep, and optimization. And we'll meet with you weekly to go over the ad reads and data based on your KPIs. Start tapping into the power of podcast advertising for your company today with PodSearch. Go to PodSearchAdvertising.com to learn more and receive a free proposal. Head to PodSearchAdvertising.com now. That's PodSearchAdvertising.com.
Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Okay, welcome into the Eric Zane Show podcast, a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures from right here in the Impact Power Sports Studio. They are amazing. If you want to get an ATV, UTV, side-by-side motorcycle, darling, no, baby. Don't. That's going to get him wound up. Don't lick his face, his ear like that. He's going to get a dog boner. I will be hanging out at Impact Power Sports coming up on Saturday, November 2nd. They have an open house because they kind of just redid things and did a relaunch there at Impact Power Sports, 14 Mile Road in Rockford, Michigan. I will be there at 10 a.m. They go 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This is a perfect opportunity for you to jump in one of their fun vehicles, if you will, and rip around the parking lot and then buy the fucker. That's what you do. ImpactPowerSportsMI.com. Tim Kuiper is here. He says, what kind of person with perfect hair covers it with a beanie? As Maureen says, yes, Eric, we don't get to see your luscious hair during beanie season. Dislike. Well, it's not that it's cold. It's just look at it right now. I mean, I look like some fucking terrorist homeless guy. Unacceptable. So that's why I'm doing this. I didn't take the time to make it look as fantastic as it can. Molly says, you look good. No. That's you know, sometimes you say to your wife, you look fine. And she's like, I do not. Fuck you. That's how I feel right now. So I just go with the hat. Can't go. And it is a little chilly. I'm not going to lie. Maureen says, I just literally laughed out loud. Well, that's good. If I've made you laugh, I'm happy. So welcome in. So glad you are here. Just finished up the Insane Asylum. It was a cover Wednesday. So we play cover songs on the show. You know, famous artists doing famous songs, or even not so famous artists doing famous songs. It just has to be a famous song. Our very own Matt Kuipers, who is a brother of Cutie Patootie, he actually called me and said, Easy, can you play, it was some fucking Metallica song that Stone Sour did. And this is how great this radio station is, because that's like important to play that song. But just so you know, Stone Sour sucks and Metallica sucks. Yet I played it. The song is called Creeping Death. I played that song today at like, 7 a.m. I played it for Matt Kuipers. It's a huge pile of shit. I played Dream On, done by Ronnie James Dio and Yngwie Malmsteen. Very good song. Let's see. I didn't play that one. Brian requested a song by Marilyn Manson. They did a cover of I Put a Spell on You, and it was an absolute piece of shit. Louis Blanco and the Black Angels did Cashmere. That was pretty good. It was fair, but it was just interesting to hear a Tex-Mex version of Cashmere. The Animals song, We Gotta Get Out of This Place by Grand Funk Railroad. That was great. Jeff Healey did... the fuck was the song that I played by Jeff Healey? I don't know. Jimi Hendrix's song, If Six Was Nine by the Cold Stairs. That sucked. Something, made famous or written and performed first by the Beatles on the White Album, done by Joe Cocker. That kind of stunk. And then the worst of all was White Stripes covering Jolene. And, well, the White Stripes suck. Enough with your stupid guitar drum setup. That's it. One guitar and like, a snare drum. Isn't it like Jack Wife's sister? It's a sister and wife at the same time. She's, like, sitting there smashing a snare drum, and Jack White plays these very basic guitar riffs and sings like a fucking shrieking Dr. Seuss character. God, does that guy stink. He's so overrated, Jack White. God, does that guy suck. Nick says, Creeping Death is a banger. Not many breakdowns heavier. It's noise. It stinks. Kenny says Stone Sour did it justice with their cover. It's really good. Well, see, the problem is you two morons like shit. So when bands make shit, you like it. And when the original is shit, which you like it, you will then like it when a shit band covers shit song. You know, that's the long and the short of it. That's my opinion, and you should make it your opinion. Tim says, I try to get you to play Chuck Berry, My Ding-a-ling. Yeah, I'm not going to play My Ding-a-ling by Chuck Berry. Kenny writes, no, the problem is you, easy like shit. That's why I can't listen to your show on Q100. For 99% of the time. Look, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. All I'm doing is playing requests by the audience. The one song that I played, Creeping Death, you obviously like that one. I actually want to take a glimpse into your life in 30 years with you listening to the same shit music. People are going to... You could do a YouTube channel. Molly says, easy. I love when you shit on everyone. Well, I do too, but I only like shitting on things that require a good dose of shit. Not everything requires shit. There are a lot of amazing acts in the world that I like. Kenny says, I mean, I really tried. But I gave up. You never even played the one and only song I asked you to play. That might have been an oversight. Can you tell us, regale us with what the song that you requested of your old pal EZ? What is that song? I'm curious to hear what I did not play for you. Hallowed Be Thy Name by Iron Maiden. No, I do play Iron Maiden, and I don't know why I didn't play that. because unless it's just a big pile of shit, I mean, most Iron Maiden is. In fact, I think there's only one song I like, and that's Run to the Hills. Nick says you shouldn't shit on Stone Sour. Corey Taylor is the biggest guest you ever had. Corey Taylor is a wonderful human being, and he does a great job. As he's getting older, he's performing better and better. He's finally getting some taste as he performs, and he does great cover tunes. And as he's older, he's playing better music, okay? He is getting out of the shit that he's played in the past. Now, if I had Corey here right now, I would tell him, I'd say, look, my audience members don't think I'm going to tell you that you suck. But all the old shit you made, especially with the stupid band with the masks, I forget what the fuck they're called. It sucks, dude. It's terrible. You know? Jeremy says, Metallica has not put out a decent album in 30 years, and yet they are regarded as the best thing anyone has ever heard. It's overrated and boring, and y'all heard the music I like. All right. Metallica, I like songs. I like Enter Sandman. I like their version of Queen's Stone Cold Crazy, kind of. I like that song where the old lady sings. She goes, da 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 da. Da 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 da. Very unfaithful. What was that song called? Da da da. I think it's called da 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 da. The memory remains. Fortune fade, ray ray ray, way way way, but the memory remains. I like that song. What else do I like by Metallica? Turn the Page. That's excellent. I like anything off of the one album that everybody hates. I'm kidding. I don't even know any of this. I'm just trying to troll you. Joey says the song One. I don't know, man. Some of those songs were okay just so I could use the bathroom at the radio station. I remember when we started playing Metallica. Nobody played Metallica until they came out with the Black Album. And then even then, we barely played anything off of like And Justice for All. Jeremy says Metallica proves that people were simple in the 1980s. So anyway, that was part of what I did on Q100. Kenny says you guys are so terrible. And it's completely acceptable that you would say that. Because you are looking at the world from like a weird vantage point. You are in the upside down, like in that show, Stranger Things. Chris in Buffalo says, nobody plays Metallica harder than poor boy Zane on Z93. Bob is going to see Metallica at Lincoln Field in Philly. Nick actually went ahead and got the cover artwork for And Justice for All tattooed on him. That's how much he loves that album. Kenny says, I am so glad I saw Metallica play all of their best stuff back in 1993. I had a chance to interview Lars Ulrich. Ulrich. That guy was very easy to talk to. I don't think I have the cassette anymore, but it was back the days at Z93. And the way these days would go is my program director, Mike Ferris, would stick his head in as he's walking out the door. And he would say, all right, so-and-so is going to call. I'm like, what? Yeah, I set it up. They're going to call the hotline, put them on the air, and then play the song. Okay. Easy. Lars Ulrich is going to call you. Or Ulrich, I guess I'm supposed to say. Lars Ulrich is calling. And sure enough, he calls. I pick it up. I pick up the hotline. Z93. We're not on the air. He goes, yo. He always starts with yo. Yo, Eric Zane, it's Lars. Lars from Metallica. Hi, Lars. How are you? Yo, I'm great. I want to talk about the new record. Yo. Okay, cool. All right, man. We'll put you on, Lars. I'll see that at 3. We're checking out Lars Ulrich. Ah, hey, Lars. And then he got on there, and I don't remember what the fuck he said. I sure wish I had that audio now. My God. Can you imagine that? How valuable that material would be to me on a personal level if I have the... I mean, he was gigantic then. Why I didn't save it, I don't fucking know. I mean, it might be somewhere in the old EZ archives, but I doubt it. I hope Cecil with a Y shit on Lars. Everybody hates that guy. Tophus writes, yo, the new record is metal, man. Chris says he's a 5-alarm douchebag. Nick says Lars is a fucking prick. He yelled at me at work. You see, Nick works in the fabled Van Andel Arena. So he might see some of these folks when they show up in the bowels of the arena. Please, details on how Lars gave you the business. I didn't know you were so sensitive, Nick. You didn't really strike me as the type that would get fucking butthurt by one of your heroes. Kenny writes, Lars is the only drummer that forgets how to play his own fucking songs. My God, he forgot to play his own songs? He didn't know how to play? Bob says the Jim Brewer hanging out with Lars bit is great. Jim Brewer hanging out with Lars. I love Jim Brewer.
Did you ever meet Lars?
Oh, my God. I used to hang out with him until one disastrous night when he decided I wasn't up to his partying standard.
Oh, really?
All right, this is Brewer on Howard.
Really? What do you mean? You didn't...
Is this what you're talking about there?
You couldn't...
Here's what happened. Lars, first of all, great guy. We would hang out, and he's brilliant.
Right.
He's really brilliant. So he's like... He was living in New York for a while. He's like, Jim, if you're playing some clubs, let's fucking go downtown. We'll hang out for the night. You're going to hang out, huh? So we go downtown, and I'm playing some place down in a village. And I find me and him ride down together, and he gets in the car with me, and I find a knapsack. A knapsack. And I feel bad because it's an NYU student. He's got all his books. And I'm like, oh, this poor bastard kid left all his books. But I got $200 worth of books. Let me hold on to it for the night, and I'll send it to him in the morning. Well, this rubs Lars the wrong way.
Yeah.
Dude, why would you fucking carry a fucking knapsack with us all night? Looks ridiculous. Get rid of the fucking knapsack, huh?
You're no fun.
So I got this stupid thing. It's starting to slowly irritate him. Yeah. Now he's starting to drink a little, and we've drank before. I've just never seen the wild, wild side. Uh-huh. You know, we've hung out and moshed on buses and in San Francisco, tore it up, but I never really saw this side.
Right.
So... we're at this club and, you know, having a drink. And this kid obviously knows this is Lars. And he comes up to Lars and he's like, excuse me, can I bum a cigarette off you? Lars turns around. He's like, did it ever fucking occur to you that sometime tonight, before you engaged in this evening, that you'd probably want to have some cigarettes? And you might not know it, but I work really fucking hard for this pack of cigarettes. So why don't you go buy yourself a pack, huh? So I'm like, and the guy's like a little offended. He's drunk and he's with some big boys. I'm like, nah, listen, it's cool. He's like, no, fuck that. Go fucking buy yourself some cigarettes. So I'm like, all right, let's get out of here.
I wish this wasn't on Howard's show so I didn't have to listen to these fucking cackling idiots.
Here. Right. Well, now this leads to, can I see that knapsack for a second? Takes a knapsack down the village. It's packed Saturday night. Tosses it across the street in front of the Comedy Cellar.
Oh, man.
The thing slams by some chick's foot. It books scatter all over. He's going, huh? There's your fucking knapsack. Huh? There's your fucking... Fuck that kid. He's fucking irresponsible. Oh, he's man. Irresponsible, huh?
And that was it?
Oh, no. So now... We start heading towards 6th Avenue.
Right.
And on a Saturday night, 6th Avenue, about 1 in the morning, is packed.
Yeah. Right. You can't believe it.
He turns around. He's like, we're hanging tonight, right? We're fucking hanging. See, yeah, it's fucking knapsack bullshit. We go walking across 6th Avenue, and the light is green. He doesn't stop. He keeps walking, and cars are literally like... He's banging the hood. He's like, what the fuck? Get the fuck you, huh?
Are we hanging out?
And I swear to you, if they wrote the scene in a movie, you'd go, this is a little over the top.
Yeah.
He stepped on the back of a car, walked along the windshield, over the top, down on the hood.
He's like Superman.
Beyond Superman. I don't know what he was doing.
He's hardcore.
So now he brings me this little club. And I'm always been a starstruck guy, right. So I'm still we walk in this little private club. It's definitely, you know, walking. It's a little dark 7th Avenue street. He's like, I think some of my friends are going to be here. Let's go fucking say hello and end this night, right? And we go there. It's really dark. I was a little creeped out. And I mean, you talk about $1 billion worth of entertainers.
Yeah.
We walk in there. It's Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Gwyneth Paltrow, one of the Backstreet Boys, Dave Matthews. And I'm just sitting there going, are you fucking kidding me?
Wow. Everybody famous.
Holy shit. No one knows about this fucking if this place were to burn down, 90% of Hollywood is fucked. Fucked.
They all know where to go.
And it was just this group in this little place. And it was about 2 in the morning. And my wife was pregnant with my first child. And I was like, I got to get home. He's like, you fucking leaving?
Look at this party.
I said, dude, he's like, are you fucking kidding? You're going to leave right now? Right in the middle? Are you fucking kidding? Couldn't get him on the phone after that night.
Really? In other words, you didn't live up to
the expectations. I got to go.
You're not fun.
You didn't party right.
I didn't party too hard. I'm a 2 a.m. party. I can make it a 2.
Okay, not a bad story. Not a bad story. Jim Brewer makes that funny. Howard and Robin kind of fucking ruin it. But yeah, that's kind of how I remember his voice too. The way Brewer does it is how I remember it. Just picking up the phone. Hello, the fucking 21-year-old EZ. Hello, Z93 hotline. Yo, EZ, it's Lars. Matt says, is this funny just because the dipshits are laughing? I would say that those dipshits made it unfunny, frankly. I have never really, I mean, because I found that to be an excellent story, and I like watching people tell it. But I too often cast the wrong impression when I'm watching someone do something outstanding. Like Jim Brewer, I've never really seen anything that he's done that isn't like fantastic. I love it. And but I don't laugh. I like when I'm watching some of my favorites, I'm like, I just sit there and kind of look with a smirk on my face like I was there. I like it. I am laughing inside, but I don't really bust out laughing ever. You really got to work to make me fucking laugh. The only thing I'm 100% going to laugh at is my jokes, because they're better than everyone's. If I'm going to say a joke, it's going to be outstanding. Okay? And I say that with no hyperbole. It's the truth. Bob says, I forgot it was on Stern. Lars is Danish, which means I think you're from Denmark, correct? I got a pillow for Twitch is here. Hey, EZ, listening to you while putting together this extreme thrill coaster for my two boys whose birthdays are 4 days apart. Do you remember putting together big toys for your kids back in the day for birthdays or Christmas? Yes, and that's a wonderful memory. I was a, let's tackle this, Dad. Let's do this. I understood that, especially on Christmas, you know, open up the gifts and then make sure that the kids, especially Jim, is able to play with them in short order. Jim was born in 1995. April. So you had May, June, July, August. That meant December of 95. That was my last Christmas drinking. Because in June of 96, that's when the shit hit the fan. So I can pretty much promise you that Christmas 1995, Jim was only 6 months old. But I had to, I don't know if I had to put that much shit together then, because he wasn't old enough to play with anything like you're working on right now. But I can totally picture myself reading instruction manuals while drinking like 8 Busch beers or something like that. Kenny says, I miss playing Santa. Trigger warning, I'm about to talk about Santa. If there's a child listening, I don't want to fuck anything up for you. I was getting to the point as a dad where I'm like, boy, what do? My kids all believe in Santa. Do I like sit them down and say Santa is really me and their mother, Pooh Bear? And I didn't have to lift a finger because Jackie comes walking up to me. She looks up. She says, Dad, are you Santa? And Jim's standing there right behind her. And I go, yes. Yes, I am. Where did this come from? And I guess a friend had brought it up in the kid friend world. And then it traveled over to my family. And that was it. And then I'm like, yeah. I don't recall. And they were so cool about it. They go, oh, well, does that mean that we still get gifts? Well, yeah, I've always been Santa. Of course you're going to get gifts. And that's all they cared about. They go, okay, good. I don't know what you're going to do if you're a dad or whatever or a mom, and the kid starts freaking out when the news is broken to them that Santa is really mom and dad. I remember when I found that out. When I was a kid, Matt Smith, he's the guy who my dad used to pick on because he had a stutter. Poor guy. God damn it, that was rough. So awkward. He said, Eric, there's no Santa. I'm like, nuh-uh, that's not true. No, I'm serious. I am 100% serious. There's no Santa. I was like, holy shit, I can't even believe it. That's about all the memory I have about that. Why do we do that? I got a pillow for Twitch, writes, my oldest is 8, and I have a feeling this might be his last year of believing. Trouble is he has siblings, 6, 4, and 2, and he has to keep that under wraps. Wow. 8642. Dude, that is, that's fantastic. You, okay, look, if you want to survive this, 8642, you're going to have to focus and make sure that you make strong decisions about your well-being, because those four are going to push you to your limits. There's going to be a time when they're 17, 15, 13, and 11. And that's, you know, it's 50-50 whether or not you guys survive. So in order to make sure that you are in the best possible spot, you got to start building some healthy living habits. I want you to eat right. I want you to be in shape like that of an Olympic wrestler. And stay focused and make sure that you are not like friends of these children. You need to be a dad. And if you are a friend of those children, things are going to get fucked up. You want to be the guy who's like, who's parenting. The time to be friends is further down the road. Ladies and gentlemen, your old pal EZ with a few words about my latest and greatest partner, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. My goodness. Prize Picks, what I love is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports, and all you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Check this out. 1-1 Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in the month of September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Now, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. Also, good news, Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in most states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy so that your lineups stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves in the first half and doesn't return, your picks are still alive. How about this for a lineup? Tyreek Hill for more than 90 receiving yards. Dak Prescott for more than 263 passing yards. Josh Allen for less than 240 passing yards. And CeeDee Lamb for more than 96 receiving yards. Then you watch, you root, you have fun. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code Eric Zane and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's code Eric Zane, of course, on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Hey everybody, it's your old pal EZ to talk about one of my amazing partners, Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile's done it right, you know. If you're like a sucker who's trapped paying tons of money to big wireless, it's time to end that cycle. You see, with big wireless, what you see is never what you get. Somewhere between the store and your first month's bill, the price you thought you were paying magically skyrockets. I've seen this happen so many times, especially with Pooh Bear, when she breaks her phone and gets a new one. Oh, yeah, it's only going to cost me this much. And get home, and it's a complete disaster. I need, a personal loan to pay the bill. With Mint Mobile, you'll never have to worry about the gotchas ever again. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, they mean it. Okay. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans. I do this, and you should too. My bill went from astronomical to $15 a month for my phone. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. The game is up for big wireless. We are on to you. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, Go to mintmobile.com/Zane. That's mintmobile.com/Zane. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Zane. $45 upfront payment required. That's equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speeds slower over 40 gig on unlimited plan, but you'll be fine. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. If I could go back and do it over, I would do it this way. Not that my kids turned out bad. They didn't. It turned out great. But I always love seeing dad in action, or mom who's always looking at their kid with a wayward eye and just doesn't trust them as far as they can throw them. That's fantastic to me. Go Blue 0052 is new and says, hey, EZ, first time commentator. Well, maybe not new, but it's a first time comment. Listening in the truck in northern Georgia, heading back to South Carolina to unload. Love the show. There are several people who do what you do for a living on this show. Jeremy is one of the most vocal. He drives truck. I know that Bleeding Heart Brian drives truck. Please be careful. I want you to know this, Go Blue 0052, that when I am driving on the interstate in the fraud bus, a lot of the time 18-wheel truckers pass me because I'm going a little bit too slow. You know, a lot of the times truck speed limit, they might go a little bit over. I usually don't. Like in Michigan, truck speed limit is 65 miles an hour. I get passed by a lot of truckers. Now, when a trucker is passing the fraud bus, when I see them pop out and go for the pass, you would appreciate this. I have the cruise control and I tap it down like 3 or 4 miles an hour. If I'm doing 64 and they want to pass me, let's say they want to do 67, I make this pass as painless as possible and drop my speed down so that they can roar by me. Because sometimes they might get a little anxious if they're passing me and it takes a long time and there's someone behind them on their tail, like pissed off because the trucker is making a pass. You got to have patience with such a gigantic vehicle. Let these guys do what they want. That's my word of advice. We need more patient drivers on the road, especially when it comes to truckers. Matt with, how do they pass you if your slide out is sticking out? The slide out was not sticking out. Well, it was, but only about 3 inches. Okay, it wasn't that big of a deal. It was only sticking out enough to piss me off. Fucker. All right. Okay, we are unpacking a lot of things on this show today. I've been working on researching whether or not I can buy rental property in beautiful Grayling, Michigan. Before I get to that, Jeremy writes, all I ask is that y'all please be predictable. Don't make me guess what you're going to do. Kristen says, Chris, also a truck driver, has a card carrying CDL class. Well, I don't think you're a, I don't think you work as a truck driver, but he says as a card carrying CDL class A and school bus endorsement, please slow the fuck down. Oh yeah. I'm even guy who when trucker passes me, I flash my lights like, hey, go on, get over. I let them know. And then you know what they do? They like hit their hazards to let me know that they think I'm awesome, because I am. You know that. So yesterday on the show, I talked about the idea of the Eric Zane Show podcast branching out to being a property manager. vacation rental properties. Because I was talking with Charity Scam Mike. He goes, I'm telling you, man, Grayling is popping. My buddy, I have two buddies that do this Airbnb Vrbo, and their places are full April 1 to the end of September, to September 30. They're charging between $200 and $300 a night, every night, for houses that are $80,000. So I'm like, fuck yes. One of you said, easy, check the local laws. And I did. I actually did this. As of May 2024, the local government was figuring out what is happening here. Especially in the area along the Osawa River. People are doing what I want to do. But I'm of the opinion that you don't really need to have a property right on the river. I mean, that's great if you can. All right. But the people that my brother-in-law, Charity Scam Mike, knows, their properties are in the middle of fucking nowhere. And they're still packed because you've got an unbelievable draw for people from down south Michigan to go up north. They love the environment, the outdoors. However, there are laws in place that I have researched. So, and it all seems very doable to me. They've also made it so that they're taxing these properties because they figured out. See, that's how it works. People buy up the properties and they start doing their thing. And then like the local organizers are like, oh, okay, well, it's a way to make money. Let us throw out some ordinances. Let us make some rules on this and let's tax it. And I'm like, good for you. You should tax it. That's the way the world works. That's how municipalities make money. However, the best part is there was nothing in anything that they had discussed. And it was May of 2024. May of 2024 was when they were really taking a hard look at this and adding ordinances and rules into this entire industry, if you will. And they had things like got to have trash pickup, can only burn clean, dry wood, no more than this number on the occupancy. The home can't have any more than this many bedrooms, because what they don't want is homes that are in like neighborhoods getting like swamped with like 50 people showing up and pitching a tent on the front lawn in someone's fucking neighborhood. So there's all these regulations and rules, and I'm looking at them. I go, yep, I can do that. No problem. Uh-huh. Okay, great. Uh-huh. Yeah, awesome. So nothing that a property manager can't handle. So my role in this is buy a house, hire someone, put people in it. And then, okay, so my job is buy a house, hire property management team, put it on Airbnb or Vrbo. And then my next job is look at bank account and pump fist. That's what I'm going to do. I don't know if it's going to be sooner or later, but that's happening. Matt writes, it's the mice and meth that attracts me to the hard living line. Bob says, there's an Airbnb that I found in Florida that they converted a Chinook helicopter into a camper trailer. It looked awesome. That's very cool. And the best part, I can promote and market Eric Zane Show Productions, LLC rentals right here. Oh, my God. And I don't even have to charge me for it. It's fucking free. I'm not sure if I should do a new LLC or just add it on to what I have. This is exciting. I'm very excited about it, and you should be too. If any of you fuckers go there to my place and trash it, I'm going to beat your ass. All right? I will hire people to beat your ass. There will be no trashing of my rental properties. Kenny says new LLC, and that is why. You don't want people to take advantage of you because it's because of the name. I think you're right on that. IMKO agrees, says, I would think a new LLC. Otherwise, you open your day job to liabilities from your side gig. All right. Fair enough. But what I can do is I can talk on this show and say, if you want to have an up north adventure and get away with your family, reach out to me and I'll point you in the right direction. Bob says, charge yourself for advertising. Tax write-off. Good call. Love that. Matt writes, as a new sponsor, what is your stance on beating kids and dogs? Jeremy writes, Cunty Hatchback LLC. All right. I'm excited about it. Now, I said to you, though, if I talk about it in this on this show, it's got a 99% chance of never seeing the light of day. Typically, that's how that works. So just keep that in the back of your mind. A 14-year-old. No, that's not what I want to talk about. Ah, how about this one? Teen dad. Now on a path forward, gets a free car. I think what's going on in this story is some young man, he was into two things when he was a teenager, stealing cars and getting chicks pregnant. Now I guess he, after he got busted for stealing cars, he supposedly found the straight and narrow, and now he's turned his life around, and everyone's giving him shit. I'm anxious to find out more. The local TV station did a story about it.
Once someone's caught in the criminal justice system, it can be hard to get out. But one West Michigan teen is proving there is a path forward, and now he'll have a new set of wheels to drive his success.
There's your keys. Go out there and check it out.
17-year-old Jalen Kendricks received his first car.
You got it, y'all.
A 2008 Honda Accord.
I loved it.
It was something he was working hard for.
I've been trying to get a car for so long. I've been saving up, and then it's always like something that happened, and I'll have to like spend a whole bunch of money, and then it'll just bring you back to the start.
Jalen didn't have to use any of his savings for his new set of wheels. Thanks to Christian Brothers Automotive on Plainfield Avenue, it was free.
Almost all of the Christian Brothers give away cars when we get the opportunity. It's just something that we've found is it's rewarding both for us, and we have the opportunity to really bless someone.
Appreciate it.
For the last 3 years.
I like those type of Christians, you know? I don't like the type of Christians. I mean, it's called Christian Brothers. I'm assuming this is faith-based. As long as they don't, like, pick and choose and, you know, judge people. Like, this guy here, he gets a car. I sure hope that these folks have an open mind about, like, people in the who tend to be ostracized by Christians. You know? Gay people, shit like that. I'm guessing, I'm going to give them benefit of the doubt that they wouldn't be judgy.
Jalen has been trying to turn his life around.
When I was 14, I was doing a little Kia boy stuff.
We first met Jalen in May 2023.
You don't want to keep putting your family through.
The Kia boys, it's a local organized crime group that steals cars, particularly Kias, because I guess there was some weirdness on the way those cars are built that made them easy to steal, so he was doing that.
that same stress.
After he was arrested for stealing cars and gun possession.
You want to try to make a difference to help other people and help yourself first.
He's part of a diversion program. If he breaks the law again before he's 21, he will go to prison.
It's been an unbelievable journey with him, and to see him rising up to the occasion. I always say I help people who help themselves, and he definitely has done that.
Jalen's boss at Tropical Smoothie Cafe has witnessed his turnaround.
Jalen has worked hard. He's overcome tragedy. He's been a role model for his friends. He's,
by the way, she's cute.
One of the hardest workers I have.
Jalen is also a new dad.
See, I don't want to have my daughter see me like that.
More motivation to stay out of prison.
That's the biggest thing. Like, I want to be a good role model.
Jalen is proof that a consequence of better choices,
I'm still shocked, I don't believe it,
can drive success.
Just a blessing still. Like, I'm glad, happy. I can't stop smiling.
Jalen says in the future he would like to go to an HBCU and study engineering or criminal justice, and he's already been offered a few academic scholarships. In Plainfield Township, Darren Bauer, Fox 17 News.
All right, as much as I'm, you know me, I would love to find something horrible to say about all of this. But I'm struggling. I'm struggling to find, okay, Cole writes, hopefully his car gets stolen. Starman 314 says, I need to start stealing aircraft. Maybe someone will give me one. Let's see. Kenny writes, quote, we couldn't fix this one up to our standards, so we're giving this old piece of junk away to make ourselves look good. Kenny says that could be the quote from the car dealership. And then he says, of course, I'm kidding. I hope it's not like that at all. LOL. You don't need to say just kidding. You save that for our pal Freebeer. That's a good joke. Runner Girl says, funny, I have heard nothing about nothing but bad things about that company. I was told never to take your car there. Well, aren't they a dealership? Fake Freebear writes, Christian Brothers, a brandy. I don't know what that means. Cole adds that this guy, the kid, is asshole of the day. Now, I don't understand that. Why would the kid be the asshole of the day? I like this. For whatever reason, he gets the car. I don't know what he did to deserve it. I mean, well, I think it's just a kind gesture, guys. I can't really say anything about this. But you guys seem to want to attack. Bob says, why was that reporter using a puker voice? Yeah, I don't know about that. He sounded like he was puking. You're right. Starman says, send an address. Don't know what that means. Kyle says, same thing. A lot of one-star reviews. Tyler says, automotive repair, I believe. Christian Brothers is a brand of brandy you can purchase at the liquor store. Yeah, whatever. Jimmy is here. Those guys used to own Z Speed Mobile Mechanic. Oh, my God. Well, that would mean that they're excellent then. That kid is on the right track now, Kenny says. Kudos to him, especially for wanting to be better for his little girl. Commendable for a 17-year-old dude. Well, now, here's the thing, though. When you're that young and crazy shit happens with kids all the time, young people have a tendency to like throw their hands in the air and say, fuck it. So, you know, after there's a diaper blowout, what's this guy going to say? I mean, it's all great now, but, I guess I would need more specifics. How exactly are you being a great father? I don't understand how this all came about in the first place. That they just decided this guy gets the car. But whatever. He seems like a nice enough dude. I wish him well. Okay. Moving on. A 14-year-old kid is arrested in a sextortion case. You hear about these from time to time, where the kid will get porno pictures of his friends or whatever the fuck, and then say, yeah, give me some money or the world's going to see your vagina. And a 14-year-old boy got busted doing this. So you had the good kid right here that we just heard from. He's got the car. And then this asshole who doesn't have the car, all he's going to have is the inside of a prison cell. Local sheriff's authorities arrested a 14-year-old in connection to the sextortion case on Monday. Cops believe that the teenager targeted as many as 17 other kids on social media, pressing them to send illicit photos to him. Is that it? Does he just say, hey, how you doing? Oh, not bad. Hey, how was your day? Not bad. What do you think of Mr. So-and-so at school? Yeah, I like him. Hey, send me pictures of your dick. He now faces 3 counts of child sexually abusive activity, 2 counts of using a computer to commit a crime, and 1 count of possessing child sexually abusive material. The kid's in custody at juvie. Authorities are urging their parents to talk with their kids about the dangers of online bullying and extortion. Actually, don't. If you're a parent and your kid, you know your kid's an asshole, you're probably better off with that kid getting in trouble. Most kids have enough sense to not do something about this shit or not do something like this shit. Safety tips and resources for victims, teens, and parents. I'm curious on this story, how this all came to be, how this came to light for this fucking ding-dong. Happens more than you can imagine. Speaking of which, Maureen's pal, Sexy Sheriff Swanson. Now, for those of you who don't know, he is the sheriff of Genesee County near Flint, Michigan. Well, it's part of Flint, Michigan is part of Genesee County. This is the county sheriff who's made a name for himself by doing things like during all the crazy George Floyd shit. He was like the liaison between law enforcement and the community. And he kept things the violence from really breaking out in that community because he was so hands-on to the locals. There's video of him like on the street talking with them, helping them in their marches and shit like that. And every woman who is from the age 16 to 99 is in love with this guy. As Kenny, hold on. Kenny writes a highlighted message. LOL, I hate it, but don't miss Matt Peek's comment above EZ. Matt talking about the kid that got the car. Says now he has a hot car to leave the kid in when he's sick of it. Oh my God. Fake Free Beer drops this horrible racist joke. It's going to be awkward as shit when he uses that car in a drive-by. That is unacceptable, Fake Free Beer. Anyway. Where was I? I was talking about Sheriff, Sexy Sheriff Swanson. So everybody loves this guy. When I was up north at Fear Bunker North, I was talking with my stepsister, Sue. And she her daughters are Amanda and Shannon. Amanda and Shannon started the handmade jewelry company that Maureen bought jewelry from. What is it called again, Maureen? Tell me the name of the company. Is it One Voice or it's something really unifying? A nice name for that company. What is the name of the girls' company again, Maureen, that you bought jewelry from? Anyway, these folks, what they do, what Shannon and Amanda do, is they have this handmade jewelry, Ring True, that's it, Ring True. It started out as an actual, just a business, but they turned it into a charity where there's safe houses all over the area in Michigan. And women who have been violently abused, they go to these safe houses and they're protected. And instead of just sitting there all day, Ring True hires them to make the products. And then they pay them appropriately. They pay them a good wage, too. So when you buy one of their products, it is made by a victim of abuse or trafficking, things like that. And so in Genesee County, they have a organization called GHOST. And I don't know what that stands for, but it's Genesee H-O-S Trafficking. It's an organization to bust traffickers. And they do all sorts of shit with, what's To Catch a Predator? What's that guy's name? Chris Hansen. So you've got the Ghost Task Force, Chris Swanson, Chris Hansen. And a lot of the people that are involved with these horrible incidents then become makers of the product. So Shannon and Amanda have become pretty tight with Chris Swanson, the sheriff of Genesee County that Maureen is in love with. There is a high degree of probability that the good sheriff will be joining us on this show. I'm telling you that right now. Genesee Human Oppression Strike Team. And Shannon, my niece, she got a phone call from Chris Swanson because he endorses them about their products, you know, and all this, all these amazing things that they do. And he said to Shannon, do you want to go on a raid? And you and Amanda. And Amanda was out of town, and the day came to go to witness one of these trafficking raids. And so Amanda calls my stepsister, Sue, and says, Shannon can't be there. Will you go with me? So mother, daughter, go. And it's in the middle of a trailer park. It looks like any other trailer in a trailer park. And you go in there, and the team is all in there. And Chris Hansen was actually there for this. And there's cops at computers at the raid site. And you got all the cameras there in the back room. And Chris Hansen, Chris, Sheriff Swanson are there. Shannon and Sue. And then the decoy is a cop talking to bad guys. And I mean, this is the craziest shit. And they know that it's a 15-year-old girl that they're talking to. The decoy says they're 15. And in Michigan, all you got to do is walk into the place and you're busted. Money doesn't have to change hands. So as it was described to me, they got a guy on there. They got a fish on the line who says, yeah, I want to have sex with you. And, I want you to pee on me. And that's what Sue told me that the fucking kook said. Ugh. So can you imagine that job? You have to sit there and talk to these animals. And so, sure enough, they sat in the other room. And during that raid, well, all the bad guys come to them at the trailer. And more than one came and they busted them. And one guy was denying everything. And my stepsister sees when Chris Hansen does the walk-in, you know how he used to do from To Catch a Predator? This is like an online show that he does now. I don't know the name of it. But same deal. You know, you get the same reactions by these idiots. And then the other guy who got busted, Chris Hansen walks in, and the dude knows what's up. And the dude just puts his face in his hands, and he's just doing the, what have I done? Oh, my God, I really screwed up now. Oh, shit. Oh, man, it's so bad. So he's singing like a bird. My God. So they got to witness that. And I did hear that Sheriff Swanson has bigger aspirations. Like, he has said, I'm going to be the governor of Michigan. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.
This message comes from BetterHelp. Can you think of a time when you didn't feel like you could be yourself? Like you were hiding behind a mask? BetterHelp online therapy is convenient, flexible, and can help you learn to be your authentic self so you can stop hiding. Because masks should be for Halloween fun, not for your emotions. Take off the mask with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.